Hey, it's Eric. Before we kick off Way of the Warrior for this week, after Ken and I recorded it, Vitor Belfort made the announcement that he's retiring this Sunday, win or lose. So I wanted to get that out before you listen to the rest of the show. And with that, we'll get it going. It's Way of the Warrior.
Yeah. Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
Rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
And it's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Holmgren, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. The countdown is on to UFC 220, which will be next weekend, and that's Stipe and Nagano. And two things on that before we kind of get to what's going on this week. One is, if you have not seen Tommy Toholt's recent piece on Stipe getting super fired up about Francis Nagano, you should make sure that you do that. And two, the lead up to this is getting really interesting because I know, Ken, your favorite thing on earth is when the quote unquote promotion seems to back the guy who isn't the champ. And that's very much how Stipe feels heading into this fight, is that they want Nagano to win because they want the monster to win. So it's setting up this interesting story that I think, outside of the fact that we're super excited to see the fight, there's some ancillary things that are drawing, I think, maybe more casual eyes into the fact that it appears as if Dana and co. want the monster to win against the everyman from Cleveland.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I mean, and that's, you know, if you're gonna grab a prototypical UFC fighter for a casual fan, you're gonna take Francis Ngannou. Hey, look at that dude.
Hey, look at that giant man who could knock people out.
You know, he just launched one of the craziest fighters ever in Alistair Overeem into the air with an uppercut. I mean, that's Tyson levels of craziness when you kind of look at the fight and how that went. You know, I think what the UFC does, I don't think they're ever trying to disrespect these champions. I think the fact is, though, that in a situation, especially now, and we look at all these fights where these championship fights are coming in with a champion and then guys who, let's be honest, for casual fans have never heard of. You've got to build that dude up. You want that dude to be a monster. You want that dude to be a superstar. Let's talk about it this way. When you're facing somebody who's built as great and as a monster, your win is that much sweeter. It's old. I mean, that's old carny wrestling logic there, too.
Right.
Right. And, you know, you don't ever see a WWE guy talk down his opponent if they're doing it right. They talk up their opponents, but how they're going to beat them. So, I mean, I think Stipe should be pretty happy with this this monster gimmick that's being assigned a little bit by the UFC, and know that that's going to help drive pay-per-views and drive ratings and drive people to watch this product. Because, again, you know, I can't say Stipe's been the biggest blockbuster champion we've seen at heavyweight in a while. And I know the UFC would love to have a guy like Brock Lesnar back, but, you know, I don't think Brock Lesnar's walking through that door. So you've got to take what you can.
At all this year?
Maybe late. I mean, we can get into that in July when we start talking about suspensions. And, you know, I don't think Brock Lesnar's not walking through that door as a regular attraction, I can tell you that much.
No, yeah, I would agree with you there.
So that's going to be an interesting dynamic if it happens, but you just got to keep plugging away. You got to keep getting the wins. And you know what? If that chip on your shoulders fuels you, cool. You know, let it fuel you. Go get it. And, you know, let it be your driving force in your camp. I mean, that's one thing about that business of fighting, is that you've always got to find ways to motivate and keep moving forward. And when guys win championships, when guys get big paydays, that's the thing that sometimes can hurt that motivation. I mean, you know, all the talk about Conor McGregor, and we'll probably get into a little bit of that again later in the show today. The guy has got to find some way to motivate himself if he's going to get back in a cage or a boxing ring after making, you know, $100 million for one fight. So if this works, cool. It works out great for everybody. UFC's got a champ that's super motivated, and they've got a challenger they've built up to be a monster at UFC 220.
And here's what's interesting about this, and we'll move on to this week, is that, so that card, guys, just a reminder, at the top is Stipe and Nagano, right underneath
still got Cormier on
is
there.
Daniel Cormier and Ozdemir, but it is the same night, this is a pay-per-view on the same night that you get Douglas Lima and Rory McDonald on Spike for free with Rampage and Chael Sonnen kicking off the heavyweight Grand Prix.
Oh,
I'm sorry, do you have to say Grand Prix?
I don't know. Okay. So here's my understanding of this. Is this will be the heavyweight champion, right?
Correct.
They're going to crown, and they didn't have one before.
It's been 2 years, I think, since there's been, I was reading it this morning, 2 years since there's been an actual heavyweight in Bellator, and they're going to crown a heavyweight champion, and that person will go on to defend. That's what Chael was saying this week, where he's excited to defend his heavyweight belt, but he has to get past Rampage first, and that will also be next Saturday night. Free on Spike.
Interesting. Was that intentional to go after UFC?
Man, I don't know.
It doesn't seem like a Scott Coker move.
Remember, you don't want
to split the audience if you're Bellator.
And there were some weird movements in this month just because of the Conor in, Conor out. Where is John Jones? Like, there was a lot of stuff moving around before this all settled out. So I doubt it was. To your point, I doubt it's intentional, but they're certainly coming at it with, they've got Yamaguchi and Michael Chandler below that. So there's some great fights on Bellator, and Bellator is, I'm not saying we're at parity. I'm not saying we're in WCW, WWE world, but I will tell you that slowly but surely and very quietly, Bellator is putting some stuff on the docket this year that I think is going to get some eyeballs. Now, will it compete with a UFC pay-per-view on the same weekend? I don't know, especially since we'll have will there be two NFL games that next weekend or just one? Because there's four this weekend.
Then there's...
is a week off and then...
Are we divisional weekend? Yeah. There'll be one each... There won't be any football games that night.
I know there won't be any that night, but so both of them will be on that Sunday.
On Sunday, I believe.
Got it. Yeah. So you don't have the insanity of college football into the NFL, which is what you have this weekend. However, you know, it'll be interesting to see what people are willing to consume in January on the 20th when you've got a free thing or a $70 thing with Nagano and Stipe at the top of it.
Yeah, well, it's going to be very interesting, too, because, I mean, free is relative. It's a Spike, I don't want to call it a niche channel, but the way everybody's cutting cords, it's certainly not as commonplace now.
Correct.
You know, I can tell you, mine's a microcosm of an experience, but I don't have Spike anymore. So when I want to watch Bellators, I've got to go search them out some other way. And so, I mean, there's a touch of a barrier there. But for all intents and purposes, if it's included in your cable package, you've got what is a free card versus $70. That's really interesting to me, especially with Chael Sonnen on that card.
Well,
and I know Bellator's always been the more sporting, quote-unquote, of the two promotions for the most part. I mean, you know, a random Kimbo fight aside here and there and Rampage fight. Man, if you're doing this, are you not putting Chael at the top of the card and calling it Sonnen Rampage?
Well, that's not what they're doing, but that's what I would do, yes. And the other interesting news out of Bellator this week...
Because you told me that, I'm like, oh, that's great. That'll be a fun little Rory McDonald fight. And then you're like, oh, yeah, and that other thing's kicking off. Like, oh, why isn't that the main event? Hell, you can even save Rory if you want. You know why? Because I was going to say, call it the Grand Prix, except the stupid Grand Prix schedule...
Is 7 months long or something like that.
I literally think it's until April or something. Yeah, April or May.
It's a long, long time.
So they're not doing a couple of fights on a night, which I think they should do. That would be as close to an old-school Pride tournament as we could get.
Well, and would be a great way to compete with this particular card, right? If you had Chael and Rampage, and I don't remember what the rest of the bracket ends up
being. Well, I know that they want... I think they're still courting Fedor. I think they've got slots open.
You know, so if it was, you know, if it was Fedor and Mitrione, which I know that we already did that, but, like, if that was what it was, you've got four heavyweight fighters on a free card on Spike, that's a way you
Frank
can...
Mir, a former UFC heavyweight champion.
Well,
and King Mo, I think, is jumping up to go to heavyweight in that round, too.
And so is Ryan Bader, is in that division as well to do this Grand Prix. So you've got a lot of things to pull in that you're, you know, promotionally wise, I think you could do a better job with if you're going to go head-to-head with a pay-per-view. The other interesting Bellator news this week is that, for all intents and purposes, Big John McCarthy has retired from reffing and is a color commentator for Bellator now with the removal of Jimmy Smith.
He said he's not retiring, though. I just want to, I know.
For all intents, like, you can't really do both with the schedule that they have. So, yes, he's not reffing ever again, but this is what he wants to focus on. Is that better? This is what he wants to focus on right now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Oh, that's fine. He released a statement, so he won't use... Excuse me, pretty wound up about it.
Yeah, well, because I think he doesn't, like most people who probably don't spend a lot of time, because Big John doesn't spend a lot of time doing interviews and all of that stuff. Like, to have your news kind of hijacked and run all over Twitter probably is a lot to get used to. But this will segue
Dude's
us.
Dude's going to be on TV. He better get used to some criticism.
I'm with you.
Because I remember him doing some of this stuff before, right?
Yes.
Wasn't good.
No, it's not very good. But
do we know why Jimmy left? I know Joe Rogan was talking about it a little bit, and so I didn't get to check that podcast
when he
out.
Was on with Joe Rogan. So Jimmy has always been one of my favorite guys in the sport because he's one of those guys who never – he's a highly positive guy who never really kind of puts his employer on blast or any of that stuff. And what he said is that he had a four-year deal with a – you might recognize this contract. He had a four-year deal with a one-year
kicker
addition. And they came to him for the kicker, as they often do, to negotiate down, is my understanding from
what?
The podcast. So they wanted to change the last year because they're in the driver's seat. That's what a kicker is, right? They sign you for 4 years, and then they'd go, and the last year we
well,
could...
Well, you, well, yeah, yeah. If it's a company kicker, they can either pay you, let you go...
Or do whatever.
Or negotiate.
Yeah, so they came to him to negotiate, which, as he was telling Rogan, is never a good thing. Because when they're in charge of the changes, these are his words, not mine. When they're in charge of the changes, it's never really in your favor. And so they had discussions starting in October. Things just didn't work out, and they parted ways. So where he ends up, I don't know. He would be a great addition somewhere in the UFC ecosystem if they could find him. He's always been one of my faves, so I would love to see him land somewhere. But that's essentially what happened. No story,
well,
right?
Man, that's a little weird. I mean, it's one thing to pay the same money. It's another thing to ask a guy to negotiate down when the company is ostensibly still growing.
Well, and I mean, you and I, with where we come from and the lens by which we see the world, like Jimmy Smith and Big John McCarthy aren't even in the same ecosystem as far as broadcasters.
No.
So it's a weird swap out on many levels.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And I know the UFC... I would love to see that happen just because the UFC, I don't think they've really settled in after Goldberg left. And
do you like, I
like some of the pairings in the,
okay. I was going to ask, cause you and I have not talked about this. I don't even think we've talked about this in our personal lives. Like what your thoughts are on the 3-man teams for the pay-per-views.
You know, it depends. I mean, I love Cormier in there, and I think John Anik's been really good. And I've always liked Joe Rogan. It just doesn't seem like those three have figured out what they want to kind of do.
And you forgot about Dominic Cruz, who just wants to yell at Joe Rogan the whole time.
I actually like him, too. I mean, separately and within their own commentary, I've liked them all a lot. I don't know. You know, it's going to take a while. I mean, you know how this works. Three men in a booth. They're not always the same three guys. Joe only does pay-per-views now, which is his right. And obviously DC doesn't do every event either. He does most of them now, but on occasion he's not going to be able to do them. I doubt he'll be down there at 220.
My understanding is he won't be doing 220. That is my understanding.
So not only do you have these new guys, basically, that you're trying to put in after 20 years of Rogan and Goldberg? 20 years.
Yep.
You know, so it's going to be bumpy, and I guess we've not really talked about it much. It's because, you know, you and I both understood it's going to be bumpy, so it doesn't stick out too much. But some fans...
I just wondered... Yeah, well, the fans... But I just wondered from your perspective if you liked the additional voice when they eventually get it figured out.
I do. And I think I like the fighters. I think the ones they've chosen are really good. I think the UFC's done a really good job of curating which fighters should be doing this. And whether or not you like the Fox deal, that's been one of the best things to move some of these fighters around. I can't wait to see Tyron Woodley. He'll be calling fights one day. You know, I've loved his stuff on UFC on Fox. So
sure.
They've been able to basically have a little bit of a training ground for some of these fighters that wouldn't necessarily get hired and be able to do these things without the deal in place. I mean, you don't see current NFL players doing NFL breakdowns during the season.
Yeah. No, they just get to jump in when they're retired or whatever.
Right, when they're retired, or like you'll see a little bit of it this week and next week because teams are out of the playoffs. So this has been a really interesting dynamic. I like the 3-man booth. You know, I wasn't the biggest Mike Goldberg fan. I certainly respected what he did for as long as he did. And, you know, I like the fact that he's with Bellator now, too. So this is a lot of changes that way. But I just thought it was interesting. And, you know, I know we're going to talk a little bit about the UFC's money in just a couple of minutes. When you kind of hear that story, though, and, you know, Bellator is signing a lot of fighters. Bellator's spending a lot of money. Bellator's part of Viacom. They have money. Let's not think they don't have money just because they're not the UFC. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic, and you got to wonder where they're deciding to put the money or if there's any corporate pressure and what's going on as they change this thing over to Paramount Network at some point.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. And then speaking of that, Mike Bond MMA, you can find him on Twitter at Mike Bond MMA, released from MMA Junkie the 2017 total announced attendance and gate numbers for 2017. So, guys, this is what they've announced because they're traditionally very private, which is why when these stories come out, the very next thing you hear from Dana White is that we don't know what we're talking about. And we don't know what we're talking about because we don't get to see the whole picture. Therefore, we make assumptions. So with that as the caveat, here are the numbers. We're going to go back to 2014. In 2014, there was 431,712 seats sold for $39,991,000. It's 2014.
Let's run this just with the money first, because sure, I think if we do all these numbers, you're going to stack everything up.
You got it. 2014, we'll call it $40 million. 2015, we'll call it $62 million. 2016, where you had Jones, Ronda, and Connor, you got up to $89 million, which leads us to 2017. Remember, last week, Ken and I talked very briefly that Dana White said, best year ever, shut your pie holes. $44 million in 2017.
Well, so that's less than half of what they made the prior year, correct?
Correct. In gate, yes.
So, yeah. But here's one thing that doesn't count. And I don't know how this counts accounting-wise, because we do know the UFC got a cut of Mayweather-Pacquiao. Or, excuse me, Mayweather-McGregor. Yeah, exactly. McGregor-Pacquiao might be next. So we don't know how that works. But, I mean, they certainly didn't own the event. So they're not going to pull. It doesn't matter how much Conor made. I don't think the UFC probably made as much as Conor, even in this instance.
But even if they made, let's say they made $15 million, that still barely puts them above 2015, right? It doesn't put them into, I would find it hard to believe with all of the players, and I could be totally wrong, so feel free to send me. I would find it gate-wise hard to believe they found another $40 million to give the UFC to beat 2016 in gate.
Yeah, exactly. So this is all. Let me grab that tweet from you real quick.
All buttons.
I'm in
seats.
The article. Yeah, the total attendance here, and it's live gate of 40. So again, we don't have pay per view numbers there, but that's a very telling sign about how the UFC looked in 2017, and wondering what we're doing going forward. You know, we talked briefly about guys like Stipe; they haven't really caught on as draws.
And very quickly, guys, because Ken was right, you don't need to be bombarded by all the numbers, but gate-wise, we'll call it 430,000 in 2014, 485,000 in 15, 500,000 in 16, and then 450,000 in 17. So you're very clearly seeing that if you're from a promoter's perspective, you're measured by, I get that there's pay-per-view, I get that there's sponsors, I get that there's TV, there's lots of lots of tentacles to the economics of the fight game. But the one by which I think you're measured most is butts in seats, and you're down nearly 50,000 human beings from 16 to 17.
Well, not just butts in seats. Here's the other interesting fact, because that drop in attendance is not commiserate with that drop in the live gate that's been announced, which means not only do you have fewer people in the seats,
they're paying less.
They're paying much less, much, much less, because those numbers aren't that far off to have a $40 million discrepancy. And again, these are announced numbers, so there's going to be events that haven't been announced. But again, they're the numbers that we have at this point. And we look at 2018, and where is Connor? What is Connor doing? I mean, he's calling guys out on Twitter, but he says the UFC has to pay him. If they're down, that $40 million is about a Connor number.
Yeah, so, as you've been doing the math for the last 6 weeks, that's where that number is hidden. And there isn't anybody else on the roster. I mean, look, if you look at this weekend, I think this weekend is super fun. It is Ken's least favorite time slot. It's most fans' least favorite time slot of 10 p.m. Eastern on a Sunday.
You're talking about this weekend.
Yeah. So just to kind of set some context, right? Like, so you've got Jeremy Stevens and Superboy, which is going to be a very fun fight at featherweight. You've got Uriah Hall and Vitor Belfort, another very fun fight. Paige VanZant makes her debut at a new weight class against Clark. And Usman and Meek are going to kick that main card off at 10 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. That is not to say that people are going to pile in droves to check this out, especially since they've got four NFL games and God knows how many college games. They're going to be burnt out at 10 p.m.
No, there's no more college games.
Okay.
College is done.
Yeah, I forgot that it ended this weekend.
Yeah, nobody cared if you didn't live in, like, Florida.
Right. So, but you've got, you do have basketball, right? Like, so there's other things going on, but you certainly have two games on Saturday and two games on Sunday for the NFL. And if you're into football, you're probably going to be watching those playoff games. Even if you're not, Ken and I have said, staying up till 1 a.m. on a Monday before you go back to work is a hard ask, no matter what you're doing.
Yeah. Oh, and definitely.
And especially if it's not headlined by Connor or Rhonda or John Jones or whatever, right?
Well, they don't do that because they know it'd be a waste. Why is this so late on a Sunday? What are they doing?
They're in Boston, too. It's not like they're... Oh, sorry. They're in St. Louis. Sorry.
Okay. So, yeah, they're not even in Vegas. I mean, that's an hour off of the East Coast, but they got people that are going to come to an arena and stay until like 1 in the morning in Missouri?
Apparently.
Okay. Fair enough.
So, I mean, so my point in bringing this up is not to beat a dead horse about how we think that Sunday nights at 10 o'clock is a really bad spot for them, but to say that this year thus far has not been, it's been full of amazing fights. If you love the sport, so far, so good. Lots of awesome sports.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a fan of superstars, you are in a serious drought condition because there hasn't really been any. Like, there was a coming out party for Nurmagomedov because he's back and had an amazing performance against Barboza. However, I still think Nurmagomedov is not a guy that everybody in MMA that's at Buffalo Wild Wings knows.
Mm-hmm.
They may know the dude in the hat that's talking to Joe Rogan, but they don't know his name.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm you know, we're not trying to swing a death knell here or anything like that, but it's going to be an interesting year, and we've seen Dana get more agitated with a lot of this stuff, and sometimes that comes out in lashing out with fighters. We saw with the DJ fights last year and then the Twitter war or whatever was happening with those two. So, I mean, it all comes around to the point of this gets discussed because it ends up affecting the matchmaking. It ends up affecting fighters. It ends up affecting promotion like Francis Ngannou and maybe upsetting your champion. So, again, kind of interesting to talk about, but let's remember this will affect how the fights are booked and the fight game in general. So it's definitely something we talk about,
and that's why we bring it up, right? Because it feels like the sport is changing, and if you can't rely on a guy like Connor to get back in the octagon, and I can't blame him, and Ronda, it looks more and more like is going to the WWE, and Dana has said is retired, and we don't know what, when, where or how with John Jones. We also don't know answers to that question about Brock Lesnar. And even if Brock comes back in 18, he won't be a regular. So all of those if-then statements, you're relying on being into the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder what that test looks like when you have to lean back into, we're going to watch two dudes fight. I might not know who they are. Am I going to do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. Where do we go? This goes back to last week. You download it again. I think that the UFC has to pay Connor. And Connor's still getting traction. He's still being talked about. Anything that happens on Twitter, Connor's the biggest clicks online. So that is something that the UFC really, really has to think about. Because they've got the biggest fighter on the planet under contract. Is that a doubt at this point?
No, not a doubt at all. You might actually have the biggest... one of the biggest personalities in all of sports under contract.
So I think it's going to be interesting because I think you have to pay him. You pay him what he wants. And precedent aside, you got to make that money back. $4 billion. Oh, man.
And you,
how smart are the Fertittas?
They're super smart.
I can't say it enough.
But when you're talking about investments, unless it's Bitcoin, you've got a bit of a long tail to make that money back. I don't expect them to make that back in year one, but they are expecting payoffs on a quarterly basis and a long tail that explains how they get it back at a predetermined date,
well,
right?
I don't understand the economics of this type of deal. It's way beyond my comprehension, but I do understand a little bit, and I know in the broadcast world this has worked out very similarly up until a lot of the consolidation and things of that nature. Is for pretty much any business, if you're going to buy it, you expect to pay about 10 times your annual, correct?
Correct, yes.
So they are expecting the UFC to make, what, $400 million a year? That was one of the numbers where I thought it was insane. And again, you read some of those earlier, and that is just LiveGate. That's not merchandising. That's not pay-per-view. That's not TV deals. But I was blown away with that number just simply because it seemed insane. And we all were wondering, wow, is the because the UFC is a private company. We were all wondering, are they really making that much money? Because that's when a lot of the fighters started discussing pay. So do you think WMEIMG overpaid? I mean, I think it's hindsight 2020. Of course they overpaid because they just lost like half of their commodities. But even at that point, a lot of people were had that supposition that perhaps they had overpaid. So I don't know. You've got. I get you want a long-term plan, but if you've got possibly the biggest personality in sports right now on your roster, under contract, you got to do something.
Yeah, and I think you've got to get him back, and you've got to use him to build some other stars so that you can have things like UFC 222 was in the news this week, and you've got Max Holloway and Frankie Edgar at the top of that one. You have Brian Caraway, and we'll bring it up because he's a local boy. Cody Stamen from Muskegon will be on that fighting Brian Caraway. But, you know, the bigger the star, the more guys like – if a guy like Cody Stamen has an amazing performance, people see that, and then they want to see him – like. One of the things about marketing is it's noticing patterns and watching them all over again. Like, you're not going to see another Conor McGregor. However, you can go back to Conor's first fight and watch what he's doing to gain eyeballs and do that in your own way to rinse and repeat.
Well, if you want to talk rinse and repeat, and it's got to be the rinse and repeat here is fight. Keep fighting. Yeah. Take every fight you get. I mean, I am glad that Nurmagomedov says he wants to fight three times a year. That should be minimum for most of these guys.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like it is. It feels like they get to a certain level in these camps, and they are world class.
You just saw Demetrius Johnson out with shoulder surgery. Woodley out with shoulder surgery.
But even without the injuries, it seems like guys want to land it two times a year. And that's not how Conor McGregor became a superstar, guys. If you want that money and you want that recognition, you take the fights, you put up or shut up. And it seems like once these guys get to a championship level that they want to settle into two times a year. Let me tell you, man, if you're not a superstar like Jon Jones or Conor McGregor or you've been a champ for a long time, like maybe a guy like Daniel Cormier, who's been at the top of the card for a long time, nobody cares that much, man. I mean, you're not that big of an attraction to be holding yourself out. And I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong. Doesn't it feel like once some of these guys get to that, I don't know, top five position, that's kind of where they land, intention or not? It seems like twice a year.
Some of them land there 100%, and some of them land there because they're waiting for a title shot because it becomes very dangerous in the top five to, you know, because there's a slim margin for error there. Mm-hmm. But even at the top, like, if you look at the guys that continually get eyeballs, you're super excited. You and I are both super excited to see Frankie Edgar because Frankie Edgar is a guy who will continually fight. Uriah Faber was a guy who would continually fight.
Dominic Cruz.
Once he got,
I mean, it took a long time after injuries, but outside of injuries, he would not turn down a fight.
I mean, the Iceman was the same way. Would not turn down. Like, the guys that you admire in this sport are the guys that continually fought. And I am not advocating for people to put themselves in harm's way and do damage to themselves. But if you pick this as a vocation or an avocation and you look at Conor McGregor and go, how do I get there? You get there by being busy. In 4 years, he went, and we've done this a million times, but in 4 years, guys, he fast-tracked his life from being on food stamps to getting paid $100 million in his first boxing match ever.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't have anything to add to that. What do you add to that?
That's... I mean, and so if you're looking to build on that or you're looking to figure out how you do your own version of that, you can't wait around for the UFC to make you a star. You've got to figure out other ways to do it. And Colby Covington is doing it one way. I don't necessarily think that's the greatest way. There are other ways to do it, but you've got to figure out a way to get people's attention. And you do that by continually showing up on cards. Some of the guys that popped in 2017, they popped because you saw them three or four times.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you just got to get...
Volkan Ozdemir, how long has he been in the UFC? 18 months?
And just keeps fighting.
And he's got a title shot already,
Let's remember, too. I actually forget who was injured now. Conor won his championship on a fight that he took, what, on 2 weeks' notice against, was that Chad Mendez, right?
Yep.
We all picked Chad in that fight. We all said Chad was going to win. Don't lie and say you didn't. So
I'm sorry. Volkan's been in the UFC for less than a year.
Okay. How many times has he fought?
Three times in 2017.
So there you go. You just got to fight.
I mean, that's the thing. That's
he fought a, and just for trivia, he fought a grand total of 6 minutes and 12 seconds in the UFC 2 title shot.
See, that's going to be very interesting, too, as we start breaking that thing down.
Yeah, but my point is, this is a guy who took all the fights that he could possibly do because he wanted, his nickname was No Time. He wanted to be the fastest guy to get a title in the UFC, and the way that you do that is get super busy and stay super healthy. And you've got to figure those two things out and run the razor's edge in order to do that.
And just fight. Yeah, so that I mean, that's the main thing, and it's tough if people, you know, they want to be, fighters are taking care of themselves in different ways nowadays, but it seems like some of the camps are getting a little more injured, and obviously a guy doesn't want to go into a fight injured, and, you know, some of those nagging things, that's, you're just going to take those into the cage with you, and that, I'm not advocating anybody go in there and put themselves in danger in a situation where they can't defend themselves or fight. In a way that would protect themselves and possibly win. But, you know, I think there's a lot more guys that seem like they get a little tweak here or there and they want to push their camp back another 2 weeks, or they want to do this thing in another 2 weeks, or we're going to do a different weight cutting system, so I need another month here. And, you know, fans don't give a crap about any of that.
No, and you're never going to be perfect. Anybody who's been in this sport for 7 minutes will tell you you'll never be 100% healthy. You're always going to have something wrong with you. And I guess the thing, as we kick off 2018 and head into the rest of the year, as we check out this fight this weekend and get excited for the two huge events next weekend, is that you got to carve your own path. The reason that we're still talking about Chael Sonnen and Rampage Jackson is that they made noise.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make some noise.
Yeah.
It's the only reason we're going to care about you is if you make some noise.
Yeah. And here's the other interesting thing, too. I think the UFC is going to have to look at that type of situation and realize they lost two draws. They lost two draws to Bellator. And
more than that, look at that. Keep going.
No, but I'm talking about the two guys. I mean, I get it. Rory McDonald was another one, too. And then you've got Mitch Chiron in there as well. I mean, they might need to find spots for some of these guys on the cards, even when they're taking some losses or can't fight in the top of their divisions. And, you know, I would love a card. Think about the card, not this one. Let's take the Frankie Edgar card you just brought up.
Sure.
He's fighting Holloway, right?
Yep.
Which is a fun fight, and we like to see Frankie fight.
Awesome fight, yeah.
But he's not always necessarily been that top guy. Frankie's always been that guy you never pick against, but he's never been that top guy.
Sure.
That makes sense. Max Holloway, obviously, I think, still introducing himself to casual fans for the most part.
100%.
So how about Frankie Edgar, Max Holloway, and then you've got a Rampage Chow fight on the undercard? Are you kidding me? People would buy that. I think you could find a spot for that kind of fight on a UFC card and kind of keep that interest level peaked to the point where you can build up other fighters.
But here's what I was saying. So the Heavyweight Grand Prix in Bellator on the Paramount Network includes Rampage, Chael Sonnen, Frank Mir, Matt Mitrione, Roy Nelson, and Ryan Bader, who 12 months ago were all in the UFC.
I forgot about Big Country. See, I feel like there's got to... And here's the thing. I don't know, and I talked about it earlier, so sometimes I need to listen to myself. Viacom's got a lot of money, so who knows? In competition, and if you're Bellator and you got those deep pockets, and maybe that's what played into the fact that, we can't pay an announcer this much. He's not really bringing butts to the seats. The fighters are. We don't know. The UFC might have just simply been outbid for the fighters of these caliber, but I do think there's probably a middle ground in between the money that Viacom's throwing at them and where the UFC landed, to where some fighters would stay in the UFC, possibly for less.
Well,
to be in a UFC fighter still.
And I don't want to get right back into this, but I think one of the things they could have done is never signed the Reebok deal, and they would have kept half of these guys.
I think you're 100% right. I said, you know, the Reebok deal, I understood the reasoning for the UFC to do it. The problem is they're not on the same playing field in that regard as their competitors who have deeper pockets. So it got very interesting when that all went down.
Absolutely. All right, so got an event on Sunday night. We will break down the Bellator Heavyweight Tournament Round 1 next week. We will also break down...
We're busy next week.
UFC 220. As always, you can follow along on Twitter and Facebook. Search WOW Show. I am Eric Hallgren. That is Ken Evans, and this is Way of the Warrior.